Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We're commencing to read in verse 17. Then when he, with the Lord Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his truth. I had tonight's message prepared. I like to do that, to have the message prepared. You can have a busy day and so many things happening and you just don't get home on time and all the rest of it. But all day, the Lord was moving me and speaking to me, and I knew that the message that I had prepared wasn't the one for tonight. So the message that I believe the Lord was giving me, I didn't really want to take. Do you ever get that? Oh, he knows about that, because you see, preachers like to have plenty on the subject. They like to have plenty on the subject. And I had a few things on the subject, but I couldn't find them. And I was looking all over the way. Lord, this can't be right. Sure, if you wanted me to speak in this, I would be able to go and put my hand on it. But that wasn't the way. And I believe the Lord has given me this message for somebody here, especially for you. It's about the rich young ruler. It's about a young man. And at the beginning of the story, if you and I had been there, you'd have said, "Here's a fella, and he's a search to get saved. Here's a young man here, and he couldn't feel but get blessed." You would have let on for him to say this. He couldn't feel. Why? You can see him running to Christ. But I want you to think about him. He's rich. He's young. He's a ruler. He has got to see things the world craves after. He's got the money. He's rich. He's got the youth. You know that youth that you and me try and hold on to as long as we can? Well, he has that too. He's got the youth. I shared it down the stairs to Sylvia one day. "Sylvia, a grey hair!" And she shouted up, "Don't worry, in 10 years they'll all be grey." And she's doing her best to put them grey too. But we try and stay as long as we can, don't we? Well, he had the youth as well. And he was a ruler. So he had power. Do you know there are men and women tonight, and they're selling their soul for one of those things? Sell their soul. Some of them, for money. For money. All they worry about is money. Building up money. Their whole life is spent up. Some of them, it's their youth. They try to preserve their youth. You know, friends, in Hollywood, in America, they never want to grow old. All the great film stars, especially the ladies, and some of the men, are all trying to stay young. And you know, they say, "Look at Mrs. So-and-so. Boys, you wouldn't think she was 65. But if you were at her house and she came down with the lawn mains in her head in the morning and the teeth out, you would know she was 65. You see, they put the package up with a ribbon. And then they say, "Boys, look at that. Isn't that tremendous?" Well, we husbands know all about it, don't we? Hey, we have the stark truth. And unfortunately, some of the women have the stark truth too. She woke up one morning and let a scream out of her. Had a bad dream, and then she looked at me and it made it worse. But they're all trying, to hold on to the youth, you see. All trying. And some of them are really burning up all their energy in trying to do it. All their energy. I was telling the friends here one night, I'll never forget the fella who was jogging on the other road. I'll never forget him. I was going to work in the winter, all the winter with a scurvy and the rain and the frost and everything was terrible. And I was going along and I had a tape and lovely hymns on. It was just driving along, you know, the way you do about 35 miles an hour. And driving along. And all I see, the stuff at the lights, and all I see is this boy. And then the shoot up. And then he saw the motor, he said, "Oh," I said, "there's your boy." "Can I know the one?" He said, "Hey, what about you?" "Oh," I said, "I'm all right. I'm doing well," he said, "it's great." And the sweat, you know, was rolling up, the shame was real, and the rain getting them up the face. I says, "What are you pulling out of me, man? Pull out of this hay." And I opened the door to get it. And he says, "Well, what about you? Still preaching?" I took up the jog, and he says, "The doctor says it would help me." And he goes, "Oh, you want to see him?" And he's heaving his lungs out. I says, "Aye." I says, "Well, what about you?" "He says, I'm still on the boat, aye. Most of my energy spent at night," I says, "on the boat here, there, and yonder." "Oh," he says, "well, listen, I can feel the benefit of that," he says. "I'm really calm." He says, "I'm out for a couple of hours now in the mornings," and he says, "I really," and he talked for a wee while, and I was beginning to worry. Some of the watch, he said, "Well, that's really good," he says, "I must get on here today for," he says, "you couldn't give us a wee lift down home." He was being out. Do you know there's millions being made at the present time and that kind of thing? You want to live longer? Here it is. Friends, what do I tell you? I work with a young man, and that young man had a hero. A hero. Do you know who he worshipped? He worshipped a fella called Bruce Lee. He worshipped him. Big posters in all his room. And he used to try and do all the things that your man could do, but he couldn't do it. But he really thought there was a... And he came to me and said, "You know, he's the fittest man in the world." "Say, is he?" "He is indeed." He said, and he told me about him jumping up the air and all. He said, "Great man." Well, I never thought any more about it. The wee boy came in. I'll never forget this. Came in. Although he was down. Down in distress. I says, "What happened?" He says, "He's dead." "Say, who's dead?" "He said, Bruce Lee's dead." I says, "Is he so?" "That's sad." "He says that nobody knows why he died. He's the fittest man in the world." And I says, "I'll tell you how he died. He died from shortage of breath." And I wasn't being funny either. Says, "I died of shortage of breath, son. And the breath that you have in your lungs now, God's give you that breath. In his mercy and in his love, he's give you that breath. See the next one? It's in his hand. And someday, for all of us, God will say, that's the last one. And you go out to meet God. You go out to meet God." There are rich, and there are young, and there are people who sell out their soul for power. Power. Advancement. Oh, they want to get up the social, they want to get into the boardroom. Swank about. They want to get in among all the elite. I delivered a big chair to a Lord Mayor once. Oh, it cost £6,500, a big chair. And as I wheeled it in and all, he was prancing about. He says, "I want none of you boys to sit on that chair because," he says, "it's my special chair." He didn't know my dad been on it the night before. On the way to the meeting. And there are people who sell out for prestige. Do you know what happens when God begins to speak to boys like that? They begin to think, What'll I do? What'll I say? I can't go into the boardroom and tell the rest of the boys, I'll get saved. Oh, he's religious. He's a holy ruler. And to sell out their souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ gathered all those things up, all about money and youth and power, and he said to the crowd one day, "What shall it profit a man if he gives the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" Let me ask you this, what are you giving in exchange for your soul? What are you given? Are you afraid? You'd be afraid to walk into the boys and tell them that you got saved. You move in so narrow surroundings, and the circle you move in, it would be frowned upon. You would be mocked and scorned. Oh, well, my friend, you'll maybe lose your soul to pay the price. I want you to think about this young man now. And the first thing is this. He's so near to Christ. And yet, he's so far away. He's got right to the place. He's got right to the place where Jesus is. Friends, can I say this to you tonight in love? You've got to the very place Jesus is too. Thanks be to God, the Lord's been in the meetings. And you've got to the very place. And you're near. Maybe nearer than you think. And this young ruler, he got near. He was so near. And as you watch the way he comes, he's coming with urgency. He's running. There's no time to waste. He's running. He's got urgency about this. And not only has he got urgency, but he's got humility. You know, he's bowing the knee. He's not caring about anybody else. He's bowing the knee. You know, it takes humility to bow the knee. And he's doing it. What urgency and humility he has. What sincerity he has. You can hear it in his words, good master. Good master. He's so near. But yet he's so far away. Because although he had urgency and humility and sincerity, he's going to find a perplexity. Something he never expected. He's so near, but yet so far away. Friend, if you were starving, the food's no good if it's a couple of inches away and you can't reach it. If you're drowning, and your hand's up for the rope, for the life jacket, if it's 2 inches, it might as well be 2 miles. You're going to perish anyway. My friend, you might hear the gospel message from your 5, dear 55 and more. And yet if you don't lay hold of its message, it'll avail you nothing. It's the taking off. It's taking it to yourself. It's getting this gospel and applying it to yourself. You know, the skeptics and the old dead sticks, they come around, they say, oh, well, this is all right for a while, but then what happens afterwards? I mean, a matter, I know such an body who professed to be a Christian, and then he was nowhere. Friends, I'm not interested in who you know. I'm not interested. Because I know from God's word that the man or woman or young person who lays hold of Christ and means business, they'll do for life. They'll do for life. You'll get out of it what you've put in it. You'll work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that's working in you. Friends, I know people, and I mean, if you were going to be that, use that as a gauge, do you ever get an apple? I got an apple one time. Lovely big red apple. The man swore by him. He says, see these apples here? I'm giving you a bargain price. Yeah, it's been. I was driving along and went, they'd say that was rotten. Do you think it put me off eating apples? You give me a half a dozen in the morning and I'll eat them anyway. It's a bad apple. Didn't stop me. I know doctors. I know them. And they've the prescription wrote before you open the door. Just oh, here, get that filled out. Don't keep 2 hoots about you. They're not all like that, you know. Thank God they're not. I know bus drivers. And they're not over the top of you. But I know someone wouldn't. And I know people who profess one thing and live like another. Oh, but I know people who profess and live the life. Thanks be to God to do. Christ in them. So friends, that'll not do. You get near enough to God tonight to get the real thing that will do you for your life. For all your life. The big man at work said, well, ever I professed. He says, you see him?
mean, I drink with him. I know him years. And he said to a friend of mine, he says, I'll bet you a fiver. A fiver, he says, I'll bet you a fiver in 3 months. He's in the pub with me. An easy fiver. Your mum took him on to. That man's in his grave now. I haven't been in the pub since. You lay hold of God, and you mean business, and God will do the rest. He's near, but he's far away. Now, not only that, not only is he near, but far away. He's rich. We've read that he's rich, and yet he's poor. He's a rich young ruler, I know, but yet he's poor. You see, he's going to lose the pearl of great price. You might be here tonight, and maybe in many ways you're rich. Maybe you're rich materially. Maybe you're rich as far as your health's concerned. Maybe you're rich as far as your friends are concerned. Maybe you have a good study. Maybe you're rich. Maybe you're rich in character. Maybe there's people who tell me, oh, it's a good woman. That's a good man. They've got a depth about them. They're rich. They're rich people, those. You're not saved yet, love. God thinks of you as poor. Poor and needy. You see, the young man heard of words from the Lord Jesus that said this, one thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. See, before this meeting's out, God will have put his finger on the very thing that's keeping you from Christ. God will put his finger on it now. You'll have no mistakes. One thing. Young man, it was his possessions. Maybe if it's not possessions for you, maybe it's pride for you. Maybe it's pride. I wouldn't want that kind of... I wouldn't like to have to go... No, that's right. You don't realise that on your knees is the highest place having the forts. You don't realise that the Lord Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. That you would have the opportunity to bow the knee. Is it your praise? Maybe it's not your possessions. Maybe it's not your praise. Maybe it's your pulse. One thing. One thing thou lackest. Maybe it's a paint. One thing. One thing thou lackest. Friend, you know it. You know it. That thing that's keeping you from God, you know it. Maybe it's a fear. A fear. A fear that the devil has brought. And you take that fear and you make it an excuse. One thing. One thing. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he preached, he never made the message to suit the man. There was always the one way. You see, I know in the world we're living in today that there are people who say, oh yes, you can get to heaven. You don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. You get to God in your own way. You just worship God in your own way. You come to church, pay in, take communion, say your prayers, don't do nobody any harm, try and live a good neighbourly life, and be good to your next door neighbour, and you'd be alright. God will let you in. And that's the way that seemeth right unto a man. Oh, but let do God. One thing. I like it. What a testimony it'd be, eh? He would have filled the Leorid. Come here, the rich young ruler, the man who had everything. My hero would have converted to win, wouldn't he? Have to narrow it down a bit, have to get him in. He would be marvellous. My dear friend, the man or woman, boy or girl who is not willing to forsake their sin will never be any good to God. Ever. You see, all over the place you hear, believe, 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 and you'll be saved. No, my friend. The gospel message is, repent and believe. That's the gospel. Always was, always will be. Friends, the day I was saved, all I knew was that I had to come to Jesus exactly as I was. And yet, in a moment, I realised I would have to forsake my sin. I couldn't have my sin and have Christ. I couldn't. One thing I lack is, what is the thing that's keeping you from God? Wonder what it is, or who it is.
God will lay his hand on it tonight before you leave. And may God give you the grace to face up to it and to finish with it. This young man was so near and yet so far away. So rich and yet so poor. But then, he's not only that, but he's so good and yet so bad. You see, it says that the Lord Jesus looked at him and the Lord loved him. I mean, you can say the good things about him, you know. The Lord talks about the sins towards man. He says, I haven't done it. I haven't committed adultery. I've tried the other before. He said, I can't think some of you up. And the Lord Jesus loved him. I mean, not serious, you know. He's not fooling about or anything. And he's so good. And yet he's so bad. The Lord says to him, why do you call me good? There's nothing good but God. And the message wasn't directed to Christ himself. The message was directed to the young man. There's none good. There's none good. The book of Romans says there's none good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that do good. There's none that understand it. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? There's none that do good. Well, I'm not bad, maybe. I'm trying to do the best I can. No. As far as God's concerned, when he looks out of heaven upon you today, there's sin on you. Sin. And there's none good. There's only one that was ever good. And that was Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glory himself. Himself. She sang it tonight. Himself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ took nails in his hands and feet. The one who was really good. He had the thorns pushed into his brow. He had his back opened by the whip. He hung on yonder cross at Calvary. The one who was good. He took on his own body all my sin. Himself alone. Christ did for me what no one else could do. He took my sin and my sorrow and he made them his very own, himself alone. And from the sixth to the ninth hour in the darkness, the blessed Son of God, who was nothing, only good, was made sin. Made sin for you and for me. Our sins put him on the tree. Our sins. The sins that we now try to tell God are all right. We're good. He's not good. Christ himself died to make us. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. Himself alone. And friends, after 3 days, praise the Lord. He walked into the midst of a room where they were all sitting biting their nails, wondering, there's going to be a hammer come to the door. We're going to be taken in, crucified, the same as he was, hanging for fear of the Jews. And Christ walked in, himself alive. Nobody's ever risen from the dead. Not in the power of an endless life. Only Christ. Only Christ came. Only Christ was crucified. Only Christ conquered. Himself alive. He says it's I. Be not afraid. It's not the march tonight. Himself. Nobody else. Himself. And for every Christian here tonight, who's born again, blood washed, heaven bound, every one of us Christians, when we see the old dark world getting darker, when we see men and women nearly without natural affection, when we see the darkness deepen, when we see the spiritual wickedness in high places, when we see men having a form of godliness and denying the power of, when we see clerical men ripping the Bible to shreds, when we see truth falling in the streets, when we see all these things, we know that the one who died for us, himself alone. We know that the one who rose for us, himself alive, will shout, and it'll be himself again. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and we leave this old dark world. Thanks be to God. We leave it. As Sometimes when you look at round you and you listen carefully, you can almost hear the rustle of his garments. You almost believe he's ready on the threshold to burst the clouds. Are you ready for it? This young man, so good and yet so bad. But friends, he wasn't only so near and so far and so rich and so poor and so good and so bad. I want to finish with this. He was so wise, and yet so foolish. See, he was wise enough to come. I'm glad you've come tonight. Thank God for your presence. But don't take it lightly. We're glad you made the effort to come out. That was a wise thing for you to do. But the most foolish thing for you to do is that, to go out that door, still not see him. Because if you do that, you'll have plenty of food. The devil's not worried that you came. He's not worried that you sang the hymns. He's not worried that you listened when the Bible was read. He's not worried that you're even listening to the message. But when God the Spirit puts his finger on the thing that you lack, and inside you there's that yearning, I want to be saved. I want to have done with it. I don't want to be like that wee lad. I don't want to go away sorrowful. I want to lay hold of Christ today. I want to be saved. No matter about friends or family or anybody in the firm where I work, I want to be saved more than anything. You begin to think like that. And I'll tell you, friends, the devil will get in. He'll not miss you. He'll give you every excuse you need to get out the door. Now I'm asking you tonight, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. The biggest lie that ever was told in the history of humanity was, thou shalt not surely die. Biggest lie ever was told. Adam swallowed it. The devil will get you to swallow it too. You'll not die. You've plenty of time. You're hale and hearty. This isn't for you. Thou shalt not surely die. And God says, the soul that's in it shall die. That rich young ruler, oh how wise he is to come to Christ. Look, he's just beside him. And what's more, he's on his knees. My, what a picture. He's looking up into the Son of God's face. And Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You don't do nothing to inherit eternal life. He came to the right person, but he asked the wrong thing. You don't inherit eternal life. Eternal life's a gift. You can't work for it. You can't worship for it. You just have to receive it. It's just a gift. It's been purchased at Calvary. He has rose again from the dead. He's alive today. And he comes and he says, look, there's a gift. Accept it. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says to the ruler, look, you'll have to get to the cross. You'll have to get that cross. Because without that cross, you'll never get the crown. And that young fellow who was so wise became so foolish. Listen to the words. He was grieved
at that saying. You know, everybody that has came to these meetings, you know, they haven't all enjoyed them. No. There's been an odd one or two, and you know, they've been grieved. I didn't like what he said. I thought he would have told us something different. I didn't like that kind of preaching. My friend tonight, if there was anything else to bring you to God, I would do it. There's no other way to God. Only by the blood of the cross. Without the blood upon your life, you'll never see heaven. And tonight, friends, if you've been wise enough to come, in God's name, be wise enough to stay. The young fellow's getting up from his knees. He's grieved now. And it shook him to the core. God has put his hand on the problem. And the Lord Jesus Christ's arms opened to receive him. And he slowly turned his back. And he's tiptoeing away. And the devil's helping him. And the devil's saying to him every step he takes, keep him away. Keep him away. Keep him away. Friends, look.
You race through your Bible one day when you've got time. You'll find, friends, that the men who live for the things... Listen, do you know what Belshazzar lived for? You've only to read his life. Banquets. Banquets. Big banquets.
Parties! Live tonight and let tomorrow take care of it all. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Banquets. There's a man leaning over a fence in the Bible. You know what he said? I'll have to pull down these barns and build the other barns. That's what he's living for. His barns. These people are all around you. People like us. They only live for parties. Say, oh, good night tonight. All right. Oh, I have the meetings. Don't be asking me up to those meetings. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to have a good time.
Banquets.
Some of them are living for barns. I ask a boy to this meeting. He says, oh, see, but I'm working every hour. God says, I have the time. He says, hey, you'll take time to die. I want to see you. Banquets. Bart, do you know what Jesus was living for? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Watching marigolds. What are you living for? The bank. The Bible says he was a thief. And he kept the bank. He's living for it. He's living for it. He's like this young ruler. He's living for it. He's living for the possessions. Do you see every Christian in this hall now? Do you know what we have found? We have found tonight that the things that are important are not the banquets, nor the barns, nor the bags. The blood's important. The blood. That's what we're living for. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that not only saved us, but keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And the most precious thing in the whole world tonight is the blood of God's Son. You go away grieved. You know, we're not here to make enemies. God forbid. I would do anything for you to get you saved. I would stay here to midnight. I would preach the next Christmas, God being my helper, if I thought it would help. But at the end, friend, it's you and God. You and God. You'll decide. You'll decide what you're going to do. You. Nobody else. Not a husband, not a wife, not a father or mother, not a hypocrite who lives up the street from you, that you're making an excuse. No, you and God. And God will ask you, what are you doing? What have you done with Christ? You know, years ago I heard a brother in the Lord relating a true incident about the tenement buildings in Glasgow years ago, First World War. You know those big tenements? Well, they're putting a lot on down now. Good job too. But in Glasgow, that's all there was in them days. Big tenement blocks. One of them went on fire. And the man who was in the top tenement went round all the rooms in the house and gathered up the children. At least he thought he had them all. And he got them out into the street. The place was an inferno in minutes. And he's going round their heads looking at them all. Then wee Mary, his wee girl, was missing. He says, where is she? One of the wee brothers says, she mustn't have heard you. She's still sleeping. And he made as if he would go back in, but they restrained him. He says, you'll be burned to death, man. You'll never get up the stairs. And he got away out into the street. And he yelled at the top of his voice, Mary! Rise up out of bed! And the wee thing rubbed her eyes in the attic and she's looking out. And she lifts the window up and there's nothing there, only smoke. She hears all the racket and the noise. She begins to sob. He says, man, get the blankets. Get all them blankets held out. Fire engine will not be here to save my wee girl. She'll burn to death. They're all holding the blankets. He says, Mary! Mary, I want you to stand out in the ledge. And she got out in the ledge in her nightgown, she's shaking with fear. He says, Mary, now I want you to do something for me. I want you to just jump out. And she says, Daddy, I can't see ye. I can't see nobody. And only smoke, I'm frightened. She says, Mary, can't you trust me? I've never let you down. We have everything down here, love, to save you. All you've got to do is jump out. And the flames now licking into the room where she's standing.
And just looking back, there's not much choice. She says, "Daddy, I can't see ye, but I'll trust ye." And she jumped. She was saved.
Don't you know tonight, God has got everything love ready for to save you. It's been purchased.
All you've got to do now is close your eyes and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you."
You'll escape the fire. You'll escape the darkness. We want you tonight to embrace Christ, that you might escape hell, and that you might enjoy life. May God grant you'll do it.